and some stuff never gets done. I had a minister in a church I went to once who was talking about decluttering as a way to get closer to God because you're not so distracted. And he said, if I'm getting kind of stressed out with my to-do list, I just cut off about 75% of it. I put that in my book and I went, how can you do that? Isn't that like illegal?
Connie Ellefson, she's a fantastic example of letting go of things that do not need to be in life anymore. She realizes that there is clutter that these things keep up with, and to keep up with them over and over again can hold you back from beautiful things ahead. There could be really beautiful things that are literally not able to reach you because of this clutter in your life. And Connie knows that, and she's aware of that. We talked about that in this conversation, talked about a lot of other good stuff. I think of the book I just recently got out, you know, it is a poetry book. It's only like 80 pages, but the only way I was able to get that book out was because of decluttering, was because of making room for new clarity. And so I'm just really glad this interview's out and hope that it serves you in some way. With that all said, here's Connie.
Welcome back to Yield Today with Alan Kenland. I'm here with Connie Ellefson. She is the author of Clear the Space, Feel the Rush. And I'm super excited just to jump in with her and talk about all these different kinds of clutter that we have in our lives and what we can do about it and strategies and all that other good stuff. So thank you so much for coming, Connie.
Thanks, Alan, for having me.
Yeah, well, it's funny because we talked a couple months ago, and then the audio on my end was super trash, and so you agreed to come back on, and so we're having this conversation again, and I already feel like it's going to be a different conversation. I'm really excited.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So with all the coaching you've done and the work you did before you got into this line of work, you learned a lot about clutter and how clutter can prevent the beautiful things from like coming out into our lives. Would you speak a little bit more on that?
I figured out it's kind of a way that we hide out from ourselves. And it's sort of, I don't know, in the US and maybe other countries where we can easily get cheaply made goods, the desire to own things is kind of a strong instinctive thing. So it's way easier to accumulate things than it is to get rid of it. And part of that is biological. And it's, if you already own something and somebody's trying to take it away from you or you're trying to let go of it, you feel a little pain in your brain, almost like you got a paper cut or a minor burn or something. And so it's actually painful to let go of stuff. But at the same time, you have to look at how your physiology interacts with things around you. And some people can be very focused. They don't notice the clutter at all. Although people that tell me, I know exactly where everything is and it doesn't matter if it's a huge mess to anybody else. I think if they really got things organized and less visually distracting, they might find that they do actually much better. And for other people, it's completely debilitating to see stuff in the peripheral vision that catches your eye and makes you think, was that supposed to be there? Do I need to put it away now? Do I put it away now? What about now? So it's, especially if you're trying to do something creative or kind of difficult, like learning a new skill, it can really bog you down. But it's individual for each person. So that's why I keep stressing in my book to declutter the guilts and be kind to yourself and look at what you need in your environment, not what somebody else tells you you need.
Wow. Yeah, that last part definitely hits for me because when we talked last, I was living at my parents' house and chilling in their garage, which was fine. You know, I was living on the couch, but I was doing the interview from the garage. And I definitely felt at that point that I needed to do a better job of really addressing a lot of these feelings and unmet needs. And somebody can assume things about you and ways to help you out, but we know ourselves better than ourselves, or at least that we want to know ourselves on a deep level and care about ourselves. And there are these little clues and indicators that help us to point in that direction that others may not ever understand because they haven't lived our lives.
Right. Exactly. We're all so individual. With some of my clients, I used to show them a decorator book that had styles of decoration from the most minimalist to the most decorated, like Victorian almost, and to ask them which they felt comfortable in, because I didn't want to inflict my level of order or disorder or, you know, visual stimuli on them. I wanted them to get what they were comfortable with. And I've actually, I always say that the very best way to inspire yourself to declutter is invite people over, because you always kind of want to look your best. And that's sort of instinctive too. So if you're looking like you can't cope with things, then you're going to be looking less desirable to the tribe. So it goes back to the caveman days. So we always want to look our best when people are coming over. But there was a guest that I was expecting, and for days I had everything picked up, and I kept everything picked up just like within an inch of its life. And I actually felt a little uncomfortable. I felt like nobody was living there is basically how I felt. So it's good to have a little bit of cozy clutter that reflects who you are and shows that you're actually doing things in your life. You're not just living in a model home doing nothing. But you just have to find what works for you.
Yeah, I believe like what you do with your book is that you have there's the mind clutter, there's the stuff clutter, and there's the body mm-hmm. clutter. And it's really crazy how you address one of these things and you start to feel lighter, you start to feel calmer, you start to understand all these different things on a different level. You're able to think more clearly, you know, because you're taking care of this clutter. Why is it important that we recognize that there are multiple kinds of clutter, Connie?
It's most of the books that we read that are on organizing and decluttering, they're really good. If you're already mentally there where you need to be to maintain it, basically, that's the hardest part is maintaining it. But usually the mind clutter is what is the biggest part of it. And if you can clear that out, then you're more likely to be able to maintain whatever level of organization you get. And some people just like, they're very physical, they're very kinesthetic, I guess you'd say. So to be able to get some exercise and declutter their bodies, the whole thing that I go back to that I kind of discovered at the end of writing this book, which took incredibly long time, was that the rush that you feel, the endorphins when you clear out a closet or you clear out your car a little bit or whatever, and you look into it and you just feel like, it's the same rush as when you go exercise for half an hour or go for a walk or run. And then if you clear out some emotional thing, you feel that big rush of relief. And it's like the pain-killing chemicals that your brain releases when you've had a little bit of pain that's not too extreme. But then the endorphins that it releases, that's the rush, and it feels good no matter which type of clutter you release. So that can actually help you. I did hear one podcaster say, after I go work out, then I come back home and I'm ready to tackle the closet or whatever. It increases your energy, whichever one of those you do, you get rid of that feng shui stuck energy surrounding either your body or your mind or your stuff, and it feeds into the other parts of clutter in your life.
Yeah, that momentum carries to other exactly. other parts of your mm-hmm. life. And it's super beautiful when, like for me, I started, like I find for myself, I'm pretty affected by my own self-talk. So lately I've been doing little recordings mm-hmm. of what I want to get done with each week, and then, you know, following up with myself. And, you know, that has been that's been a really powerful practice. I think with a lot of these things, we know what we need to do, but we just don't want to do it for some reason, or the clutter just keeps getting in the way, and it's so easy for that to happen.
Yeah. And I've been doing some similar practice for about 5 years or maybe less, but I write down 5 things I'm grateful for each day, and hopefully there's something different than what I said yesterday. And then I write down 5, I call them props, but it's basically acknowledgments of what something I accomplished today. And sometimes it's something really small, like I got to yoga class on time, and sometimes it's pretty big. But the main thing that I've noticed is a lot of times we stop giving ourselves credit. As soon as we get the thing accomplished, then we forget about it. We're on to that. What's the next thing? So even if it's some huge goal you've been working on for years, you can stop giving yourself credit almost immediately. Like the next day, you've forgotten all about it. And so it's important to realize that even if we haven't, one of my friends in a book she wrote called Lists That Saved My Life, her name's Angel Tussey. And she had a wonderful line that said, she doesn't have a to-do list, but it's like the things I'd like to accomplish this week, which sounds so much more proactive and positive and inspiring than my to-do list. But the other thing you can do is a to-do list. You stop at noon someday or whatever the middle of the day is for you and write down what you've already accomplished. And the things that we don't give ourselves credit for are the things that take a ton of skill, but we've been doing them for a long time. So we don't see it as anything special anymore. And it could be even just taking care of yourself. I mean, that's little babies can't do that. So you've come a long way. So it's good to just keep giving yourself a little rah-rah, because we do actually, I tried that one day and by 1 o'clock I had 12 items on my to-do list. And I did give myself credit for things like that that I've done every day, but they still take a lot of skill. By the end of the day, I had 20, 21 or 25 items, and it happened for a couple of days in a row. And I'm just like, okay, don't need to do this yet again, because I can already see the impact.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's amazing how many things we do, like just unconsciously without even really thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful when we're able to like notice those things and point them out, you know, because we don't often get feedback on those things. Like that thing that we do extremely well that we just do. That's something I think I'll be doing more frequently after this conversation. Because I think that's a really big part of it, because then it gives your brain something else to focus on. You know, you're thinking of that last thing you did well, instead of maybe you're veering off into some dark fog or something. You know, sharing those things with yourself can help turn the light back on and help you direct back to wherever you want to go.
Right. I've heard it can even retrain your brain a little bit, because our default setting is looking for danger and looking for what we haven't done yet or whatever. So you can, if you keep focusing on and like pumping it up, like, wow, this is actually pretty amazing, then you can retrain your brain to look for that kind of stuff, which keeps you in a better frame of mind. So it doesn't mean you can't accomplish things when you're feeling bad. It just means that a lot of people, it's been shown with many studies that if people are happy at work, then the bottom line goes up, gets better. So because we can tap into our endless supply of energy that we forget about all the time.
Well, there's like all these different things that we have some control over, you know, even when we're having like a really, really rough day, we can still choose how we speak to ourselves in that moment. And that can mm-hmm. shift things around. You know, that's happened in the mm-hmm. last couple months, where something that may have gotten me like really upset and I'd like choose to stay upset, I've mm-hmm. kind of been like, well, wow, you know, just kind of like sort of just be like, you know, dang, you know, and just kind of be like, we'll move on. And that's crazy. And just kind of celebrating the effort, you know, because there was some mm-hmm. effort put in, and acknowledging that. And especially when you don't reach exactly where you'd like to reach, because that's probably going to happen multiple times in life. So having a pretty good idea and training your brain, I love that, to like, this is how I will respond to myself when something like this happens. That's extremely powerful. That is extremely encouraging too, knowing that I am not going to lash out at myself randomly if this random thing happens that maybe I don't have a ton of control over.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the faster you can laugh at some situation and say, well, what did I learn from this, which didn't go exactly the way I wanted? Or I try to get in the habit of, if I'm kind of clunking around with, if I drop something on the floor, I just say, well, that's crazy. And in the past, I would have been like beating myself up for it. So I used to have a young colleague that would say, whenever I'd tell him about something that happened that wasn't the best or whatever, he'd go, sweet. I always wanted to kind of smack him like, no, it's not sweet. It's awful. But he was right. It was sweet. It was the comedy of life. Ooh, I just made that up. I like that.
Yeah.
There's always education that you can get out of any mistake. And that's usually where you learn the most stuff, is when you make some mistakes or you try something and it doesn't work. Then that's when you learn the most, which sounds nice, but we don't always like remember that. So it's good to have your heroes, your gurus, or even, you know, new ones, because every day you can see something new that you hadn't thought of before that encourages you.
What would you say is encouraging you right now, Connie, with, you know, you've got this book out, I'm sure you have other projects on the pipeline?
I have a couple of granddaughters, and they're very delightful. They're still quite young, so sometimes I just look at a video of one of them and I start laughing. But it's, believe it or not, it's getting older. It does help you with your perspective and looking at all the things that have already happened. But I still feel like I'm in my 20s in a way. So I talked to a man once who was 96 and he was getting a PhD. His last degree had been like 70 years older or younger. Earlier, when he had gotten a master's degree at Oxford, and now he was getting a PhD at the University of Kansas. And he said, I don't feel any older than my classmates, but of course, when they look at me, that's not what they see. So we're all kind of the same on the inside after about 25 years old. I just take stuff wherever I can get it from. And there's usually something every day with the people that are in my life, or I check on TikTok or I check on Instagram or whatever. Even Facebook has something funny that cracks me up once in a while.
It's neat, because I was talking with somebody a while ago, and he thinks of like aging as like leveling up. So he's like, I'm at level 70 now, you know? And he's like, so I have all these different things I've done in my life, and he's doing extremely well from my point of view. And It is super encouraging when we can frame aging or growing up or something in that light of like, now I get to use all these things that I've been accumulating all this time, instead of being like, oh my goodness, look at all that time I completely wasted. I wasted all of that time, every single second of that. Completely wasted. And it's like, I don't think so, man. There's more to it, but it is crazy how we can frame in any moment how we see our lives. We can look at it through this like scaly, yuck, cold, kind of slimy way, or we can frame it in this like, dang, I'm living this life of unfolding miracles and stuff.
I put in my book, one of the main things I learned was from a meditation that was described by Joe Dispenza. It's called the Chakra Blessing. And so it's like there's energy centers they believe in that go up your body, little rings of energy at different points. So he said, pretend you're bringing in healing energy at your root chakra, which is the base of your spine. And then it's all in your mind that you're doing this. And then you pretend that you're bringing some into your second chakra, and you're bringing all the other energy up from the bottom. Just work your way to the top of your body. And you can do it in just a one breath each time, or you can spend a few minutes at each level. And from that one thing, I learned that I could turn on my endorphins whenever I wanted to, because that's basically what's getting stirred up when you pretend to bring that healing energy, and it actually does. It does something. So one week I decided, I'm going to keep my endorphins on all the time. And it was a challenge, but I discovered when I did that, that I recovered much more quickly from some aggravating thing that would happen, or I was just in a more cheerful mood, and several nice things started to happen to me that week, or kind of got put into motion. So I keep trying to remember to do that every week. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but there's lots of tools that you can train yourself. The big thing about aging is, unless you get sidelined by dementia, and I'm a huge proponent of using nutrition to keep yourself and your brain healthy, and it's working. you just get smarter and wiser the older you get, because you have more experiences under your belt, and you can look at things with the perspective, as you mentioned. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, there's things I kept in mind from our last conversation. It's a shame we weren't able to share that. One of the things you talked about was about like hormones, all these other things. You know, like these are things that we need to keep in mind, and we need to have compassion on ourselves, because we will see this more clearly. Hindsight is 20/20. We'll understand, like, holy cow. You know, I look back at like different times I was struggling in college, like, bro, he just needed a hug, man. He just needed somebody to talk to about those things. Like, he was putting himself through so much, like all this stuff he felt like he had to do. And that is one of my like red flags, I guess, Connie, is like, if I feel like I absolutely have to do something, I look back at it now and I'm like, no, I do not have to do that. That is something I will choose. It is not something I absolutely have to do. Because let's say I don't do it, and it's something really good. You know, there's been days where I was like, oh, I'll get a podcast episode on this day or an interview, and then something happens. It doesn't happen. It's like, well, life goes on. I need to embrace myself, especially in this moment where I don't feel worth embracing, or that I've done something that was worth, you know, worth cheering for. Just the fact that you're still on the path, so to speak. That's how I look at it now. It's like, you're still trying, you're still doing these things, and you want to get better. I mean, that's something we're celebrating literally every single day.
That's right, Alan. And the other big thing for almost all of us is that we try to do too many things in one day, and we don't leave some space for the things that come up that sideline us. That's something you learn with practice too. And
Connie really is such a blessing to talk to. Just with talking with her, I was able to get a glimpse of how I could live my life in a better way. And I hope that it's given you some perspective so far too. Definitely check out her book. Definitely check out the other things that she's doing. She's a real delight. And I'm just really thankful I was able to talk with her. But I really hope you're enjoying this interview. And that's it. We'll just jump back into the interview now. Thanks for listening.
You're right. There's lots of stuff that if it doesn't get done today, the world isn't going to end. It's just going to be on the list for what to accomplish tomorrow or another day soon. And some stuff never gets done. I had a minister in a church I went to once who was talking about decluttering as a way to get closer to God, because you're not so distracted. And he said, if I'm getting kind of stressed out with my to-do list, I just cut off about 75% of it. I put that in my book and I went, how can you do that? Isn't that like illegal? But the fact is, we do. Most of us have several hundred things on our to-do list. So one of my friends said, if you stop doing everything else and just focused on that, it would still take you many weeks, months, even years to get everything done that's on the list right now. They also said, another friend said, you're going to die with a lot of stuff on your to-do list. So yeah, that's a good perspective. But you're probably going to gravitate as you get older to things that are easy for you and that you enjoy or that you're good at. And so you tend to declutter areas of interest out of your life as you get older too. And then you can focus more on what you can really make an impact with. That was one thing that was hard for me, because I have a lot of interests. And when I was young, I had always way too many things on my plate. But now it's much less.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in kind of slowing down and also in taking things out of the picture. You know, this is what I've done since we last talked. One thing I feel much more light and such on camera is there's books I was wanting to read and whatever that I was trying to finish. And I've just kind of been like, you know what? Right now, I feel like I need to just stay focused on going deeper in like scripture and whatever. And that if something else comes in my path, fantastic. That's great. I'll meet that when it comes, but I'm not going to stress myself out. I'm not going to beat myself up for not reading this book that I was hoping to read or something like that. And I've, just kind of accepted, at least with God, it's like he knows what's best for me. And right now, what's best for me is probably not being, you know, upset with myself about anything I can't change. It's about moving forward and using all this stuff to design something really beautiful for myself to enjoy down the road, and then letting God do his part too. I really like what you said about the like turning on the neurotransmitters, dopamine, and whatever throughout the whole day. It just made me think about like a TV station, it's like, and next we'll have more dopamine. And then after dopamine, we will have serotonin. And after serotonin, we'll have all these things. And it sort of makes me think of like, I remember back in the day, you know, they'd have like, be like, hey, we're having a whole day of SpongeBob, like literally an entire day, you know? So it's like, if you haven't watched any SpongeBob, this is the time. So that's how I look at it a little bit. Is I'm really trying to give myself as much of these things as possible because I understand more what really fulfills me, and it is leading to all these other beautiful things happening.
Well, you are wise beyond your years.
I think I'm extremely blessed to talk to people like you, for one thing, Connie.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's really cool that you recognize. A lot of this stuff is just hardwired. We're just so on the lookout for danger that we don't want to rise above ourselves too much because might get in trouble if we do that, or you know, whatever. And it's all just kind of an instinctive habit, and to some extent, we've been trained in it because our parents needed to teach us to be safe. So there were lots of restrictions and telling us what to do. And I guess I think I said in my book, I read that by the time you're an adult, you've probably heard some version of no, or you're not good enough, or that's not right, or you're not doing it right a couple hundred thousand times. So it takes a while to retrain that. Some of those people didn't know what they were talking about.
It's true. How do we work on that emotional clutter more and also like for those stories that don't serve us, what do we do to like rewrite that story? Do you have any like client experiences or things that come to mind about that?
Rewriting the story. It's kind of an individual thing, but I always go back to the practice of tapping, and that's emotional freedom technique, where you tap on the different endpoints that are around your face and the upper part of your body. And that's a great way to just like knock that thing right out of the park. And I talk in my book about how one time I was so upset about some interpersonal thing. I was just so upset. And I started walking around the block by my house and nobody was out. So I'm just like, they say the more emotion you can put into it, and you say all the negative things that you're actually thinking, that our culture says, you should not be thinking that, or you should not be telling yourself that. But you're basically scrambling it in your nervous system. And you're scrambling that neural loop that just keeps coming around saying you're not good enough. And anyway, I'm crying and I'm talking about how it's not going to work this time. And, you know, it's always worked, but it's not going to work this time because I'm so upset. And before I could get 10 minutes around this little loop in my neighborhood, I was walking up to my house a couple, three houses away, and I went, oh, I feel better. I'd already gone on in my mind to some other situation because I'd taken care of that one. So that's incredibly effective. There's like 40 or 50 scientific studies about that, about how it calms down your amygdala so that you can actually think of solutions. Because when you're all upset, you're about 5 to 7 years old in your brain power, your ability to resolve things in your mind. So that's been the most effective for me. And I think a lot of people that I worked with, in the first place, said that they'd actually hired me to come and do something with them about it. So they were more motivated than the average person because they actually took some action. And for them, just telling stories about the things that we're letting go of that they'd held on to for a long time, that helped them feel better. So whatever anybody can do for themselves, whether it's journaling or talking, just telling somebody, an organizer, or telling a counselor or a friend that's willing to listen, like you obviously are willing to listen to yourself. But that's why I don't worry that there's so many books on the same subject, because like I said, we can always use a more of a source of inspiration each time, each day.
Yeah. Well, I've definitely seen, like, going out in nature, you just see like lake, or you see a tree, and you're like, man, that tree is standing strong and it has deep roots. And it's like, man, I got to have deeper roots, or I need to take care of my roots so I can be more like that tall tree. And yeah, there's so much beauty in nature. And we can, I think we talked about this a little bit offline, like you can take something that you grab from that, like a movie you really like or something, and you can literally like bring that into the next part of your life. You can take that higher energy or frequency or whatever you want to call it. You can literally like put that in your back pocket and take that with you.
Exactly. And then the other thing that always works for me is the 10-minute do nothing meditation, where you're just sitting, staring out the window at something, hopefully something that looks nice. Doesn't really matter though, but it's mainly just sitting still, and it takes a little bit of practice to just get bored with yourself, because you're not meditating, you're not praying, you're not thinking, you're not planning, you're just sitting there saying, huh, what would you like to tell me? You know, your spirit guides or God or your angels or whatever, what would you like to tell me, your higher self? And that just brings you right into the present, which is normally not that bad. It's actually normally pretty good. There's no huge crises right at the moment. It's always, you're thinking about the past, you're worrying about it, worrying about the future, anxious, you know, but you're thinking about some other situation that isn't actually happening right now. Even in my engineering work, when I get kind of twisted up, and I've been doing it for such a long time, but I still get anxiety sometimes, like, maybe I won't figure it out this time, but I always do. and yeah, that calms me down from almost any situation to it's really not as bad as you think, and you can deal with it.
Yeah, I think the present, doing things to bring us back into the present, is so powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, like with me last year, when I was going through my craziness, you know, there's times where I'd go on these runs like really late at night, and I'd be like, bro, I'm able to run, and this is not something that, you know, it's something that I definitely worked up to, and it completely takes you away from everything that you were just thinking about, and now it's just you and the run. Like that's literally it's a full body exercise, really. So for me, like doing things like that, or like writing a poetry, can really, like, I wrote a poem before jumping on this call. It just came to mind. I was like, all right, boop, 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 you know, and then it's just like, it felt so relieving and freeing, and just helped me to really center myself and be here, you know, as opposed to somewhere else.
That's outstanding, Dallin. Sounds like you've developed a lot of coping skills, and it's good for everybody to find their own. And that's, my book has lots of ideas, but then there's still something different. Like, I wouldn't have thought of writing poetry. I would have thought, some have recommended a stress notebook, especially when life is super difficult, to sit down and write 3 pages of garbage, and then you feel better. You could throw it away because most of it isn't even legible. But it does make you feel better, and it's another way to tap into the endorphins. I believe that's what's going on.
Yeah, I look at it as like having like these little like plugins or an outlet, literally like you take that backwards, it's let out, you know, it helps you let this thing out so better things can come in. And yeah, so it's like if we have these outlets and they're not working, like if you plug in an outlet and it's not working, it's like, okay, well, that's obviously not good. So we need to take care of it and nourish it. And so that's how I look at writing poetry or running or any of these things. It's like kind of brings me back to like the first time I went on a run, first time I wrote a poem, always like memories anyway, and those fondness and the wonderfulness and the courage and everything else. Like you feel all those feelings in the moment and then you just kind of just go back into it. And it's a cool experience. But I love how we can have those thoughts. And I think next time I'm in a situation where I don't want to like talk to somebody, but I know I need to talk to them or something, I'll remember the many, many times where I have reached out to that person and it went well and I didn't have anything to worry about, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because our minds really are so powerful with framing the present moment and enjoying the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Just the last couple of days, I remembered something that I'd done 15 years ago and I completely forgot about it, which is deliberately in your mind, not saying anything to the person, but expecting the best behavior from them. And it's amazing how it will change how they react to you if you just expect the best from them. And I started thinking about, I'm sending love and light to this person that is annoying me right now. I'm sending some angels over instead of this constant barrage of, ooh, ick, I wish that person would get out of my life, thoughts. So then I feel better and hopefully that person feels better too and will respond better next time I see them.
Yeah. It can be really heavy to... Well, extremely heavy to hold on to all these different things, and your body does feel all of it. And so it really is wonderful when we can like kind of do an inventory. I'm like, what am I holding on to? Can I let go of some of this stuff? You know, because it makes perfect sense to me in like a video game or an RPG or something. It's like, we have that. Why are we still holding on to that? We don't need that. This is what we're doing right now. We don't need that anymore. That was useful at a time. It's not really useful anymore. We need to let it go. And yes, it's tougher to do it in real life, but I'm learning more how to do that more for myself. And the results have been pretty mind-blowing.
Cool. So you're talking about physical items or everything?
I think a lot of it is the mind clutter of like silencing the negative voices. Like kind of like if I have this room, right? There's this concept I talked about called like the one optimistic child in the room. So like if you are having a really rough time in a room of like 50, chances are one of the kids is going to be like, you're doing a good job. 1 out of 50, you know, like 2%, you know, it's probably good likely. But now I'm really changing it. So it's like, now it's like, you know, 35 out of 50. So like, even for really small things, it's like, whoa, Dallin, yeah, let's go, Dallin, let's go, you know? And then there's always going to be the haters, but be like, yeah, we're not listening to you guys. You know, I think a lot of it is just the internal, how I see myself, how I see what I'm doing right now, a lot of the mind, body, spirit clutter. And yeah, it a lot of it is, I think so much of it is visualization, because like that's what my poetry helps me to do, is to visualize these things that I don't really know how to like speak it sometimes, but it helps me like to visualize it and to get a perspective of it, and that frames me in the story. I wrote this one pretty recently called like I Can't Leave Him Behind, and it talks about me when I'm having like a rough time, like I can't leave him behind. He's going through a rough time. This is his moment of darkness, but I'm not going to leave him behind, you know? So for me, hearing that and knowing I said that to myself in that moment of love and clarity gives me a lot of peace and hope in this moment. It's still a daily journey. I'm still figuring it out, but definitely have come a long way.
Yes, it certainly sounds like it. You've got lots of techniques to keep yourself encouraged. And somebody said that to me 35 years ago. She said, people just need encouragement. She was talking to, that was back when I was, when I had my child, and it was, the big thing was don't gain too much weight, or, you know, gain plenty of weight or whatever you need to, but don't overdo it. So she was talking to this woman that had gained 40 or 50 pounds with her pregnancy, and she was going, great. And to me, and I'm going, what? That's terrible. It's going to be so hard on her. You know, I'm thinking all this judgmental stuff, and that woman was right. She was like, you already know that this is going to be a problem. You don't need somebody telling you, but shouldn't you be blah, blah, blah? Yeah. People just need encouragement. And that's been something that I've kept in mind for decades. People are starving for encouragement, including yourself.
That's true. Yeah. Well, what advice would you give to Connie that was like struggling to get her book out? Because that's what I'm curious in hearing right now. And then, because I'm trying to get out something soon too. And then how do we get in touch with you and the things you're doing? Find the book.
Okay. Yeah. It's the website is clearthespace.com. CLEARTHESPACE.com. And it's a journey that takes a while to get going, takes some momentum. I've been having, I think I told you before, I've been doing short form videos on TikTok, and now I'm moving it to Instagram and going to put some of the same stuff on YouTube. But that was kind of my dream to do much more video, because I'm super creative and I like to be designing stuff. So do the things that you like. And I think it does help to have a coach or have someone else that knows how to do all this stuff. So you're not going through all this learning curve yourself. That's what I used to do when I was younger. And that's just like, ugh, it takes forever. And you have to overcome all that same stuff that we've been talking about, that, you know, discouraging yourself or dissing yourself. So yeah, it really pays off to get some wise assistance. That's what people do who become superstars. They just focus on what they can do best and they hire everything else out. And that's a good shortcut.
It's powerful to have somebody to lead your hand, especially in those parts of the journey that you really don't know what you're doing. And especially when you're trying to figure that out, and anything that is really out of your comfort zone and stuff, that those things might come up. It's like, what are you doing right now? You are not one to be writing this book. What? Imposter, you know? So yeah, having somebody to help you out is crucial. Yeah. And I'm really excited. I haven't been super good about looking at, like, seeing your content on Instagram and such, but I'll definitely be doing that, because I think you have so much to give still, Connie, with all of your journey and your messages, and they're so encouraging, they're so uplifting, and I definitely was uplifted through this conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan. Well, I learned a lot too, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
I needed to be taking notes, so I can't wait for the broadcast to come out so I can listen to it again.
Same. Yeah. Thank you so much, Connie. It was a blessing.
Thank you. Thanks, Dallin.
So yeah, it took me about an hour or so to edit this, and I'm glad that the interview is out now. I actually have I have a Mario walking timer on YouTube. I'll have a link to it in the show notes if you'd like to have it. I just have it on my second monitor, and I'm probably just going to have this playing whenever I get something important done for the rest, I don't know, for a long time, because this is really effective. It just has the Mario walking and slowly gets closer and closer to the end of the goal as the timer winds down. But I'm really thankful for having Connie on the podcast. It's cool being able to listen to this audio again as I edited through it and listened through it. And it was just neat to hear. And it just gave me clarity. Like, I really need to work on this, keep improving this. And I don't know what's going to come of all these different things. But if I want to have stronger energy in the works that I do, I need to develop myself. I need to improve myself. The only way my second book is going to be better than my first one is to continue to improve myself. And the same thing goes with the podcast and stuff. For some reason, this hits, this feels right, this feels good, me just getting this out into the world. And so I'm going to just keep trusting that, but I'm just really thankful for it. And I'll try to get another interview out really soon, really trying to get out a bunch of interviews out before the end of the year. And yeah, just to get more stuff from Connie. The book really is fantastic. Seriously, I've highlighted a lot of it. Haven't quite finished it yet. I'm going to have it finished before I have her on again. But with that all said, I'm just super thankful for you listening. Don't forget to yield to the good. It'll be a better tomorrow.